So yesterday morning was just an ordinary morning. And like so many of you, I suspect, I set out to run some errands, including I drove down to Cranston to go to the local church supply store. We needed some things, particularly for the candlelit portion of our liturgy today. So I ran that errand, I checked out, I got in my car, and there are various ways to come back, so I thought, I'll take Route 10 north. As I'm driving up Route 10, I saw something which I have seen several times in the last few months, but something which struck me in a new way yesterday morning. And that is, perhaps you've seen it, a large billboard. And the billboard is blue and it has white letters, and it asks a question. And the question is, who is Jesus? Next to it is a citation from Matthew's Gospel, that portion of the Gospel where Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" We heard that just 2 weeks ago, actually, on the confession of St. Peter. And Peter, in a moment of inspiration, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus tells him, "No mortal could have told you that." How curious. How curious that question is on a billboard. Now, below is a phone number, a 1-800 number. I confess I've not called it. We can talk about that later, but perhaps I will. But regardless of who put that billboard there and why, I thought how fascinating it's on Route 10, and I also thought how interesting that I at least keep coming across that question. As I said, we heard it 2 weeks ago in the confession of Peter. It's on that billboard that I saw yesterday. And I feel it has been throughout our lessons the last few weeks as we have moved through this season after the Epiphany. Back at Christmas, we celebrated the eternal Word become incarnate in the person of Jesus. Eternity touching humanity. Divinity come that humans might be moved to divinity. And in the Sundays following, the Gospels have been about Jesus being made known, manifesting God in our midst, letting the nations know who is this one who has come, born of Mary, yet divine. This year we have a rare opportunity, it only happens every 7 or so years, but a rare opportunity of celebrating this great festival, the presentation of our Lord in the temple, alternatively known as Candlemas. And this feast also asks that question, who is Jesus? Who is this one that comes to the temple on this day? The church has kept this feast from very ancient days, certainly from the 4th century. Those of you who came to the Lenten study program last year may remember we talked about a nun, Egeria, who walked from Spain to Jerusalem and spent several years there and kept a journal of what she did, including all of the liturgies she attended. One of those she mentions is Candlemas, the Feast of the Presentation, and what the church at Jerusalem did. But some scholars think it may even go back as far as the 2nd century. So something about this feast says it's important, and the church has kept it faithfully for centuries. We heard the account from Luke's Gospel of the presentation of Jesus in the temple, and it begins in a very ordinary way. 40 days before Jesus was born. And in order to comply with the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph take Jesus and bring him to the temple. It was required that 40 days after the birth of the first male son, that son be presented in the temple and be redeemed. And that goes back to the Exodus, when that angel of death passed through, and those who were the Israelites, those who were the people of Israel, those who had painted the blood of the Lamb on their doorpost, their firstborn sons were spared. But those who did not, namely the Egyptians, their firstborn son, both their son and their livestock, in fact, were killed. And so it was, the law of Moses required a firstborn son be presented 40 days after his birth, 40 days after his birth, be presented in the temple, be redeemed, prayers be offered. It was also the day that his mother was presented in the temple to be purified, childbirth having rendered her, according to the law, unclean. And so it is, on this day that Jesus is presented in the temple, an ordinary scene that suddenly takes on a whole different cast to it. It changes dramatically when we find that Anna and Simeon, these two prophets, are there in the temple. Anna, a woman who has been there a long time, day and night, waiting for the Lord to appear. We don't have any of her words, but there she is, witnessing the Lord coming to the temple. And there is Simeon, and we're told by Luke that Simeon is righteous and devout. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. And in fact, the Holy Spirit has told him he will not die until he sees the Lord come to the temple. And so the Spirit that day says to Simeon, go. And he goes and he finds Jesus. And when he sees this child, he offers that great canticle, the Nunc Dimittis, a canticle which is so important that the Book of Common Prayer says it's to be said at evening prayer and a compline every day. Those perhaps familiar words, Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. What began as an ordinary event, a family complying with the law, becomes extraordinary when Simeon sees in that child the light of the nations, the one who has come to deliver the people Israel, the one longed for, the one the people have been expecting and waiting for. And this one who has come is not come just for the house of Israel, but for all the nations, a light to enlighten the nations, even the Gentile nations. This light has come for all people. This light comes into the world, proclaiming that love of God, breaking down everything that separates us from God, drawing us into that light, healing, redeeming, and restoring. But Simeon also says this child is destined for the rise and fall of many. That echoes the Magnificat, which comes just before what we read today. Mary's great canticle, the angel Gabriel coming to her and Mary proclaiming, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord." And in that canticle, Mary reminds us how the mighty will be cast down, the hungry will be filled, injustice will be righted, the world as we know it does not continue. This Lord comes to this temple. Jesus is born of Mary so that oppression may end and there may be hope. This world is not locked into the patterns of the past, into the injustice, into the oppression. Redemption is at hand. But this one who comes also comes to purify. And we hear about that in our first lesson this morning. And purification can be a messy and painful business. The lesson mentions gold and silver, which are purified in the fire. But what that fire does is it burns away that which needs to go away, that which is impure, leaving those pure substances, gold and silver. The prophet Malachi says, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? He will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness." So it is that Jesus comes into the world to refine and to purify. This light comes to shine in the darkness of your life and mine, into the darkness of this world. And love indeed comes to conquer injustice. And there's pain in that. Jesus himself knows that. For this path that he is set on leads him ultimately to the cross, to his death, to the pain and agony of horror of that, but also to be raised on the third day, that even the power of sin and death cannot stand up to this light, this love of God. God will triumph in Jesus, no matter what. And Simeon, in a very poignant moment, then reminds Mary that she too will know this pain in a very personal way. A sword will pierce her soul. telling Mary that this child whom she has given birth, whom she loves, will die, and she will be there to experience that pain and that loss. A sword will pierce her soul. And so on this Feast of the Presentation, on this Candlemas, may we say yes to this invitation of God, who desires so much to be in loving relationship with us as to come among us, to be presented in the temple, to share everything it means to be human, even the challenge, the pain, the suffering. May we say yes to that loving insistence of God. And may that light of Christ, which we proclaim this day, shine into the darkest corners of our hearts, of our world, bringing God's compassionate love, ending any hurt or suffering or sin, purifying and making us ever more ready to say yes to that invitation. And may we, in the season after the Epiphany, see in Jesus God made manifest, God in our midst, God who brings that light. May we reflect that light back into the world, that all may come to see in us and in our lives a witness to the light of Christ, that light which shines to the darkest corners to bring redemption and love. Amen.